we start off with a body, and we're not sure who's killed this particular body. And we get down to it. There are several characters that make their appearance. And even when we get to intermission, there's still a question as to who might have done it. We come back in Act Two, and there become nuances that sway your opinion as to who it might have been. And it's not until the last few minutes of the show that you know for sure.
She always throws you a twist, doesn't she, that Agatha Christie? And this takes place over the course of a day?
It's about 24 hours.
From the director's chair, what's the challenge in producing The Unexpected Guest?
Really, for this one, there's a lot of dialogue.
Mm.
And it's just taking all that dialogue and keeping it flowing fast enough that you don't lose interest. There's a little nuances that I've tried to throw in to try to bring that question into play as to who might have done it so that you are kept guessing.
Hmm.
And it's just body language.
Sort of playing on all those things that are so mysterious. We're trying to, you know, make them bigger focus items because we want the audience to not know who did it until the end.
Yeah, we throw a couple red herrings at the audience.
I guess you can't give away the ghost if you, you tell me.
We can't give away anything. You have to come see the show.
It's a mystery thriller. All right. And what were the reviews when this came out? What were folks saying about it back in the late 50s? When did it first come out? How was it received?
Agatha Christie's been a bestseller for a long time. When this show came out, it was one of the longest running ones on Broadway in its time. And so it's really great for us to be able to take this show and kind of make it our own, put our own spin on it. So audiences loved it when it first came out, but they're going to love it even more if they come see it at the Stained Glass Playhouse because we definitely try and take a new spin on each show that we do in the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely going to have a lot of surprises.
This man must be in marketing. What do you do for a living when you're not? Oh, there he is. Yes. He knows how to
sell. I'm also the chairman of the board.
Yep.
Oh, excellent. Well, well spoken. And maybe you'd like to, or Michael could lead us up to this first scene, or Renee.
Okay, well, we're hearing three people here. It's Michael Starkwetter, who I play, he's sort of the outsider. He's come to town to try to find a house, and he gets lost on a foggy, mysterious night, crashes his car into a ditch, and kind of gropes his way through the fog to this house. And the first thing he sees when he comes in is this dead body in a wheelchair. And so he's trying to figure out who did it, and he encounters some very suspicious characters. He meets Laura Warwick, who is the wife of the corpse, ex-wife, I guess.
Widow.
And Julian Fair, who is a local
neighboring politician.
Yeah, local politician.
Yeah.
Who's
best
got
friends with the recently deceased.
Very good friends with the wife as well, widow.
All right. Well, this is it. This is Brandon Lloyd Hicks performing the role of Julian Ferrer. Renee Wallach Shepherd performs the role of Laura Warwick. And we've got Michael Ackerman performing the role of Michael Starkwetter.
Mm-hmm. I must go and see whether they've got my car out of the ditch yet. We didn't seem to pass it on the way here.
No, the drive comes up from the other road.
Oh, yes. How different things look in daylight.
Julian, that lighter, I said it was mine.
You said it was yours. To the inspector?
No, to him.
To this fellow? Laura.
Be careful. He may be listening to us.
Who is he? Do you know him?
No. I don't know him. He had an accident with his car, and he came here last night, just after...
It's all right, Laura. You'll know that I'll do everything that I can.
Julian, fingerprints.
What fingerprints?
On that table. On that table there, and on the pane of glass. Are they yours? Oh, it's very kind of you, Julian, and I'm sure there will be a lot of business things you can help us with. Are they yours, Julian? Think.
On the table? Yes, they might have been.
Oh, God, what shall we do? The police think it's this man, McGregor.
Well, that's all right, then. They'll probably go on thinking so.
But suppose...
I must go. I've got an appointment. It's all right, Laura. Don't worry. I'll see that you're all right.
Oh, you off now?
Yes, things are rather busy these days. Election coming on, you know, in a week's time.
Oh, I see. Excuse my ignorance, but what are you, Tory?
I'm a Liberal.
Oh, are they still at it? I see. I'm beginning to see.
What do you mean?
Well, that's the boyfriend, is it? Come on now, is it?
Since you ask, yes.
Oh, there are quite a few things you didn't tell me last night, aren't there? That's why you snatched up his lighter in such a hurry and said it was yours. And how long has it been going on between you and him?
Some time now.
But you didn't go away together?
No, there's his career, for one thing. It might ruin him politically.
Surely not these days. Don't they all take adultery in their stride?
These would have been special circumstances. He was a friend of Richard's, and with Richard being a cripple...
Oh, I see. Not good publicity.
we got to find out more about these characters.
There's a whole family. I mean, the thing is, you have the wife, you have the brother of the recently deceased. His mother is there, his ailing mother, his caretaker is there. That's Angel. He's valet. He takes care of him, also helps him maintain his vast gun collection. That's another little twist for you. There's Miss Bennett. It's the secretary. She also is a caretaker for the elder Mrs. Warwick, the mother.
Jan.
Yeah, and also of Jan, the brother of the deceased.
Well, we certainly get a taste of your character, Brandon, through that little back and forth there. Politician to the T, but tell me more. Get inside the mind of Julian.
You know, the thing is, when they discovered the body, they found a lighter, and it was on the body. Well, Mrs. Warwick, Laura, she's grabbed it up because she knows exactly whose it is. So in this scene that we're about to do for you, she's just telling Julian that his lighter has been found on the dead body. So she's trying to figure out what's going on. You know, she is not sure why his lighter was in that spot when Mr. Warwick was found dead. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to let him know that this Michael Starkwedder has found this. She wants him to be aware that he could be getting into trouble.
Mm-hmm. And she's also told Michael Starkwedder that the lighter was hers.
Mm-hmm. So she's already set herself up for failure by lying right off the bat.
Renee, caught in the throes of love. Explain your character's actions here. Laura Warwick seems to be going through, her world is falling apart at the seams.
Well, yes. The play opens with me having discovered my husband's dead body. And as it continues, you find out that my husband was not exactly a nice man and that it has not been a happy marriage for quite a long time. And so she's kind of conflicted. I'm conflicted about, am I sad my husband's dead? Am I kind of relieved because he was such a horrible person? Very quickly that comes out, so you don't feel too bad for the victim. Right off the bat.
You know, and
you're just kind of like, okay, now who had the best motive? Who wanted to do it the most?
It could have been anybody.
Yep.
Michael, could it have been...
It could have even
Michael
been
Starkwedder?
Laura. Laura, maybe she's a little bit upset.
Laura.
Maybe she's upset because she's, you know, you never know. You're going to have to come see the show and find out who did it.
Been pushed to the edge.
Now, I do hold a gun at one point. It's true.
All right. And Michael, tell me about Michael Starkwedder. I mean, you mentioned early on you're off just home shopping. What kind of man is Michael?
He's been working abroad in Iran, working for an oil company. And he comes back to visit where his relatives live, and stumbles in on the situation. And he's a little bit of a wild card, but he's just sort of trying to puzzle it out.
He's a very smart guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he comes upon this scene, and instead of running away in fear, he decides to take charge and kind of help out. He's, you know, we have an inspector there, we have a sergeant there, but Michael Starkwedder, he's an unexpected guest, and you know what? He's going to figure out who did this murder before the end of the show, if it kills him.
You get to hear the gears spinning during that read. You have to wake up pretty early in the morning to pull one over on old Michael Starkwedder. Well, there's a scapegoat involved, which you alluded to, and Mr. McGregor. His son was run over?
Michael's son was run over by Richard in another town, and they have moved to this part of Wales, and Richard had been drinking at the time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And so we get all this information about Richard that comes out in investigating that murder, and maybe that's the motive for this one.
I'd say a better way maybe to talk about McGregor would also be that it's not just the family who is... It's not just the family who is being considered as a suspect in this murder. There are outside sources, too. Mm-hmm. Richard was not a nice guy, and he led a long life. Very active in wildlife. He wanted to get out and shoot the big game. He made a lot of friends and enemies in many places. Mm-hmm. So there is a twist in there, like you mentioned. The blame gets placed on more than just the family, on some of these outside events that have happened in his life as well.
Is this your all's first take on an Agatha Christie story? How's that been?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun kind of doing something this suspenseful and mysterious. I've never done a murder mystery before.
Oh, you never have?
So, yeah, I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, you certainly do a great British accent. That's not the first time I've heard you all doing that here.
My favorite Agatha Christie would have to be And Then There Were None. Mm. I've loved that one for a long time. So as soon as I found out that we were going to be able to do The Unexpected Guest, I made sure that I was there to sign up to audition. It was one of my roles that I definitely wanted to play this season.
Yeah. We kind of alluded to that earlier. Renee, what makes her so special? This her take on these sorts of stories?
Well, from an actor's perspective, it's kind of hard for us because we sit there and we have debates. No, wait, you don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. Because when you know the whole show, you have to really kind of piece together when do you learn things. And so as we've been rehearsing it, we've kind of had debates. Who knows what when and how do things actually get revealed? What is it body language that reveals it? Is it a conversation? So from an actor's perspective, it's really a puzzle to put together. But from an audience perspective, it's a whole different puzzle of who actually did it. And what's great is I believe we may be voting at intermission, letting the audience vote who they think did it, because there are so many, oh, well, it might be her. Oh, that look makes you think it's her, and that kind of a thing.
Those are the sort of nuances that Becky was talking about when we're talking about wanting to give the audience a few twists and turns. That's one of my favorite parts, too, is just coming together and figuring out. So can we give a little hint right here? We want to kind of blind the audience as to who did it until the end.
Yeah, nice. A red herring.
Yeah.
All right.